This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, Mike Somich in a new crib. I'm Patrick Maher, VSiN, the sports betting network, and it's a big time of the year, week 15 NFL. We got the college football playoffs kicking off next Friday, and VSiN's got the guide you need to bet the postseason with confidence. Listen, this is unequivocally the best thing you're going to find if you want to bet the playoffs. You get the breakdowns from Mackinnon. You get the bold picks across the VSiN network. You can buy the guide right now, $14.99. That is such a great deal. Or upgrade, become a VSiN Pro, get the guide included, plus full access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits. You get the AI-powered prop tools and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Here's what you're going to do. Get your guide now at VSiN.com/CFP. That's VSIN.com/CFP. Somich just fired up for the college football playoffs. He loves Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, me and Oklahoma. We're like this, man. Can't wait to see those Sooners.
You're gonna piss off Salty Halty.
Not at all. I brought it up on VSiN at the track today. He was not pleased about it. I told him my Miami Hurricanes had a better shot at winning it all than his Oklahoma Sooners. The Sooners, they're gonna go down to Bama right out of the gate.
Wait, hold on. Miami got in.
I don't know if you know this. apparently head-to-head matters in some parts of life, and including college football.
Yep. Oh, good. We'll get to see Michael Irvin spazzing out. Hopefully they got a medic on hand. All right. The college football betting guide. Make sure you go check that out. Let's get into it. Week 15. And we will end with the Thursday night game, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. So let's get started. Samo, 455. Arizona's at Houston. Houston is probably the team. Everybody's just like, not interested. I'm not interested. And Arizona's going to be in Houston. Houston's 9.5 if you want to lay it. And you can find a 10 if you want to take it.
How far we have come. The Texans laying 9.5 is a crazy thought against anyone just 6-7 weeks ago, but they've ripped off a nice little win streak here. That defense absolutely dominant. The shine coming off of Jacoby Brissett a little bit as we've seen him play more and more. Michael Carter still dominating out there, but this is a different test for this Arizona Cardinals team with this Houston defense coming to town. I don't want to lay 9.5, but 9.5 is not enough for me to take here. I would need like 12 if I was going to play Arizona. It would be Houston or pass at this current number. I do think the under is still playable here. 42.5 currently the number. This Texans defense is just, they're unbelievable, Patrick. Like the secondary combined with that pass rush, so good. And this offense is just not explosive. It would take multiple turnovers for Houston to make up the majority of that total. So I lean toward the under here, but nothing that I've officially played yet.
Yeah, you got the two edges, and then in the middle, they're exquisite as well. And in the back end, they're amazing. I mean, it's a great defense. It's going to be a team in the postseason if they get there. You're not going to want to play. And we finally run up against Arizona being the over team because they're playing Houston.
It's the problem, man. It's been fun betting these Arizona overs, but now you got Houston coming to town with this defense and a terrible offensive line. Hard to go back to the well on the Arizona over.
457, Vegas is at Philly. This reminds me of a quote our buddy Twizzy, who calls into the show often. He said, I don't know if Vegas can beat Philly, but I know Philly can beat Philly. It's a tremendous answer to that. And Philly is laying 11.5. Now, interestingly enough, your Pinnacle, which is a very sharp book offshore, is Philly 13. So quite a chasm there.
Yeah, back in another spot, just like the last game, where I don't know how you lay 11.5 with Philly right now because of how this offense has looked. This is the right time for them to play Las Vegas. They need a get right game. Hurts needs to figure out what he is doing. I'm kind of hoping for like a 3-3 halftime score, Patrick, just so I get to hear the Philly boo birds out there, because you're going to have some angry Eagles fans if this is not a blowout. It just feels broken. It feels broken with the Eagles right now. Everything they do on offense looks so difficult. When Brown goes for 100 yards, they lose. When Hurts throws for 150, they win. It feels like an offense that just kind of needs to control the football and control the game in that manner and not be as explosive, which is very odd to say because it's the opposite of what you want as an offense. But I'm not really interested in backing O'Connell against this defense either for the Las Vegas Raiders. So it's another spot where I think the number is correct. I probably need 14.5 to want to back Vegas in this spot. I don't think we're ever going to get there. I'd want sub 10 to back Philly. I don't think we're ever going to get there. So not a side or total I want to attack.
Yeah, 38.5 on the total with the Raiders at the Eagles. Fill me in. What happened with the Philly offense? Is something wrong?
I don't know. I mean, it's just been clicking so much. I assume we're going to regress at some point here.
Is Jalen playing well?
Yeah, he's playing great. He's playing great. Super Bowl MVP. Maybe he should just pretend every game's a Super Bowl, because the only two like really exquisite games he's played in the NFL are the two Super Bowls, one that he won, one that he lost. If he could play like Jalen Hurts Super Bowl every week, he'd be a great quarterback. Now they're talking in Philly like he's not even going to be there next year. There are people calling for his job right now, which is crazy considering where we were. How much does this feel like 2 years ago when Philadelphia was 10-1, looked like they were going to be one of the best teams, but there was all the turmoil inside that locker room? They end up bowing out in the first round of Tampa after barely making the playoffs. Same vibes going around this Eagles team as 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you have two type of quarterbacks that are playing, and you saw it on Monday night. You have conditional quarterbacks and unconditional quarterbacks. Herbert can just win you a game, and it needs to be 72 and sunny with all the factors correct for Jalen Hurts, and that's what happened in the postseason last year. Offensive line was exquisite. Barkley, who is a shell of himself at this point. Now, he did have the long touchdown run, but that was on a fake tush push where they hoodwinked them. So I don't want to go there with Barkley, but he's very much Hurts, a conditional quarterback.
I wish we could get a prop for numbers of time Hurts is going to throw the football away in this game, because I swear there were at least 10 plays on Monday night where we saw him not have his first read open, roll out of the pocket, and just throw the football away. If it's not the first read, it's a problem for Hurts right now, and that's not how you can operate as an NFL quarterback.
Well, at least he's got good body language, and he seems into it.
Super, super supportive wide receivers, too.
Yeah, no, it's a good vibe. And nobody deserves it more or less than Philly and Philly fan. Let's go 459 Jets at Jacksonville. Obviously, Jets dealing with a bunch of injuries, specifically quarterback. Jacksonville, who all of a sudden, they were in a great spot against Indy last week, and they showed up. And they proved themselves. Here they come, and they are laying 13.5, the Jags hosting the Jets.
I mean, it's a great matchup for the Jags. I get why the spread is where it is. It's a run game for the Jags. It's been very good. Should be a great week to run the football against a Jets team that traded their best run stopper at the deadline to Dallas. It's Thursday, and we don't know who's starting for the Jets yet. It could be Brady Cook. It might not be. It's probably not going to be Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields. It's Jags or pass for me. But again, I like 13.5 is such a huge number. We don't have rushing props for this game. That's where my money probably ends up here. I want to look at ETN over rush yards, Tutum over rush yards, looking for someone to be able to just go crazy against this run defense that I think is going to get exposed here for the Jets.
The one thing, Jets have a stellar special team. So if you're laying 13.5, it's almost like you're going to get something weird happen for the Jets on special team. So I'd be a little nervous there. There is a rumor the Jets are looking at Chad Pennington going the Colts. Angle on this as far as quarterback.
It's that time of the year. I do like the team total Jets here. You can get under 14.5. Let's just kick the ball out of bounds every time we punt it or every time we kick off, and there's no way they're scoring 14.5 points on the offensive side.
No, that's a good point. Next up, 461 Cleveland, who just about as bad as you can play last week. Obviously tanking. Stefanski was tanking there at the goal line with the 2-point. There is no other way around it. And they're at Chicago. Chicago looking for a bounce back. Chicago in a weird spot, though, because they're coming out of division and they'll be going back in division. They got a sleepy opponent coming in Cleveland. Chicago is laying 7.5.
I don't want to touch this game at all, Patrick.
Me neither.
Like, I hear so many people talking about Bears teasers. Just proceed with caution. Because you mentioned the spot, like Green Bay last week, Green Bay at home next week, that game next week essentially for the division because of the tie that Green Bay has on their schedule. You have to split with the Packers. And the fact that you've got the Browns here, a team that, look, they're not good. You're not motivated to go out and play them. It's going to be 10 degrees in Chicago. We're going to have negative wind chill factor in this game. This is just one of those spots where it's going to be ugly. It's going to be disgusting. If anything, I'm looking toward the under here because I just expect a sleepy effort from both teams. But I don't want to be involved in Bears teasers in a big way. Like I hear a lot of people excited about putting in their account.
Not crazy. Cleveland embarrassed defensively. Come back. I would not be like shocked if Cleveland walked out with a win. So if anything, I'd take the points there. 7.5 is too much for Chicago. Okay, Samo, 463 Buffalo, New England. And as I was saying, Michael, our buddy, our producer, is a Patriot fan. Here is the problem I have with this game. And the NFL is an interesting handicapping interest, because if we're being real and it just comes down to the quarterback, let's just say it, because I hear everybody saying I can't bet on New England here because of Josh Allen. But we have a lot of data at this point, including New England going to Buffalo, that Buffalo's just not that good. And New England is. So what are we going to do here? Because Buffalo's laying it on the road. They're laying a point and a half.
I mean, not that good is that's kind of shots fired to Buffalo here. This is still a top eight widely rated power ratings team, where New England,
they have a good quarterback.
They've got a very good quarterback. And I don't know if you know this, Patrick, that's actually the most important position in sports is your quarterback.
Thank you.
Not sure if you realize that.
Let me take some notes here,
yeah,
brother.
We're just trying to educate you here. I like the Bills. I like the Bills in this spot. I think this is a motivated Buffalo team. Big win last week against Cincinnati. I am concerned about the defense for Buffalo and if they're going to be able to slow down the Patriots here. But this isn't a Bills team that's quite ready to give up on being able to win the division. And this is a game where they have to have to be able to get the division. I think it's going to be a good football game. It's not one that I'm backing up the Brinks truck on here. But I do think that Buffalo should be a 2.5-3 point favorite in this spot. And right now it's under two. So I'll lay it with Buffalo here. But not a big bet, but one that I am interested in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, Allen's the best player in the game, but I'm just going to trust what Buffalo's shown me all year, and that just being an erratic team. And I love everything Vrabel's working with this week. I love the fact that they're rested. Hold on. I love the fact that they're dogs. He's being asked about the point spread. I love everything about the motivational aspect, and I think New England's just a better, well-rounded football team.
I won't be surprised if New England wins this football game. But I am a big proponent of who you've played in the NFL, and this is a situation where I am going to point to the New England schedule and just say, look, I get it. You've won a lot of games in a row, and you can only beat the people in front of you. But if you look through who they have taken on, and specifically the quarterbacks that they've faced during this win streak, really the only good team that they have played is Buffalo, and they went into Buffalo and won. You have to give them credit for that. But I'm not ready to give them credit to the point where I think that they should be this short of a dog against Buffalo. Yes, they're a dog, but you could get Buffalo at +1.5 as late as yesterday. That was available last night in the market at some books. You were seeing -1.5 on both sides. I just like this Buffalo side more than I like the New England side, simply because of who they have each faced and how tested they are. Again, I think it's going to be a good game. Not a big bet for me, but it would be Buffalo or pass.
I'll take your who have they played and raise you. Did Buffalo play Atlanta? Did Buffalo play Miami? How'd that turn out? It's not a very good football team. I mean, I love the quarterback. I agree. I think he's good.
You are correct. It is not a very good football team, but it is a great NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And that is the equalizer inside the NFL. We've seen it before where these quarterbacks can take over games, and if they are able to win, or if they're able to play at their best, they can win these football games without having elite defense, without having elite wide receivers. And that's what we saw last week from Josh Allen. I think we're going to see it again this week from him. I also, just to jump on Narrative Street, how bad is it going to be for Josh Allen and this Bills team if they don't make the Super Bowl this year? We're looking like we're not going to have Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. We're not going to have Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. You're not going to have Joe Burrow in the playoffs. It kind of feels like Buffalo has to do it this year, right?
I know you won't have Sean McDermott on the sideline if they don't make the Super Bowl. They may not have to win it, but McDermott's gone if he doesn't make the Super Bowl. I totally agree with all the teams that you mentioned not being in there this year against Buffalo. 465, Baltimore is at Cincinnati. Baltimore at Pinnacle is laying 3. Everywhere else, they're laying 2.5. Are you interested in laying points with this iteration of the Ravens?
No, I'm not. Not even a little bit. I am still pissed at myself for not taking the 6 with the Steelers last week when we were at this point. I talked about how hard it is to try and grade this Baltimore team. I've given up on how it's pretty easy. They stink. That's how you grade this Baltimore team. It's a bad defense with an offense that is uninspiring and an injured quarterback. And Lamar at MVP caliber, this is a correct line. You even want to get in on Baltimore. At current Lamar caliber, he's what, the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, maybe? And he doesn't have weapons? Give me the 2.5 here with the Bengals. I think the Bengals get the job done here. I obviously go get the 3 if you can get it at Pinnacle, but if you only have 2.5s available, I would also wait. I think 3 becomes available before the weekend, But I think the Bengals are the right side at 2.5 or 3 in this game.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I'm looking right now, 2.5 are both $1.15 at FanDuel and DraftKings. So you're going to get a 3. Now, you may miss out on it, but keep an eye on your books, because as soon as you get the 3, eat it up with Cincinnati. I think they win outright.
It's not going to last long. And it's one of those situations where it is more prudent to wait for the 3. And if you get it, great. If you don't and you end up with 2, it's a better idea to wait and try and get the 3 and end up with 2 than it is to get the 2.5 when 3s right. become readily available. That's how important that key number of 3 is.
That's a good point. 467, the Chargers are at Kansas City. Obviously, everything's desperation for Kansas City, sitting on about a 8 to 10% chance to make the postseason anyway if they win out. And Kansas City's 5.5, mostly 5.5s.
Everything's kind of desperate for the Chargers too, right? Like they kind of need this game as well. Their schedule on the way home, incredibly difficult. And this is really the linchpin game. If they're able to beat the Chiefs, they are in the playoffs. If they don't beat the Chiefs, they have to go 2-1 in their final stretch, assuming KC wins out. Their only tough game is Denver, so they're going to go at least 2-1. But you would have at Dallas versus the Texans at Denver. That is not an easy 3-game stretch to go 2-1 in if you are the Chargers, especially with the banged up offensive line. I think the number is right here. I think KC should be laying more than a field goal, less than a touchdown. That's what we are sitting at. If we ever get to 6, I start to become interested in the Chargers. Again, moving from 4.5 to 5.5, not a key move. But if we get to that 6, it starts to make a pretty big difference. I do love me some quarterback running props in this one, Patrick. Mahomes sitting at 21.5, Herbert sitting at 24.5. Both of these banged up offensive lines just cannot protect Mahomes and Herbert, and we've seen them consistently take off when there is pressure. There's going to be pressure on both of them. I'll take both quarterbacks over their rushing props here. 21.5 for Mahomes, 24.5 for Herbert.
Yep, don't hate that. 469, Washington's at the Giants. Washington, no Jaden Daniels. Not sure why, except the fact that they're putting him in bubble wrap, obviously. He could be playing with the non-throwing elbow. Giants are laying 2.5.
Yeah, Giants coming off the bye, extra time to rest here. This is a broken Commanders defense at this point. It looks like a good spot for the Giants run game to get going with Tyrone Tracy or Singletary, depending on who ends up being the lead back in this spot. You've got Dart in the game, so you've got the weapons on the Giants side, or at least the weapons that we have seen the last few weeks work for them coming into the bye. It's Giants or pass for me. I don't like this Commanders defense at all. If you want the Giants, the 2.5s are -115 all over the place. There's a -120 out there. Go in and get the 2.5 now. I don't think this stays at 2.5 by Sunday. So Commanders are pass for me here. I'm sorry, Giants are pass for me here. But it's not something I've got a big bet on.
Yeah, Giants for me too there. 471, Indianapolis at Seattle. Seattle is 13.5. And obviously the big story is it looks like we are going to see our 44-year-old grandfather, Philip Rivers, playing quarterback against the Seattle defense, which is, hey, it's theater.
It is theater, man. Like, if you had Philip Rivers playing on your bingo card, congratulations. You should just automatically win. This is crazy. He's a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame. If he gets added to the regular roster, the 5-year clock starts over for Phil Rivers to be able to get into the Hall of Fame. Apparently, he and Steichen talk every single week because the offense that he coaches at his son's high school is the same as the Colts offense. So they compare notes about what was successful and not successful. That's why he's in here. I could never bet the Colts. Like, this is, if you could imagine a time not to come back, wouldn't it be going to Seattle in the rain as a 44-45-year-old quarterback against that defense? This just feels like a terrible spot. I don't trust the Seattle offense to pour it on, but we've seen them just basically putter around and cover these type of numbers because of how good this defense is. It's Seattle or pass for me. I probably need like 17.5 to even consider the Colts in this spot.
Yeah, that they talk a lot, but the weird text was Steichen texting you up to Rivers, Rivers saying, what's up? Yeah. Steichen was the quarterback coach back in San Diego with Rivers, so obviously a good relationship there. I don't even know how you can mess with it. I agree with Samich. Like, if you're doing anything, I guess it would have to be Seattle, because I don't know what to think about Indianapolis in the predicament they're in. I do feel badly for Daniel Jones, as an aside. I mean, it looks like he probably won't even have a plan next year. And he was playing on a broken leg, so he was already you know, in an issue, but he played through it. So you feel badly for Jones.
I feel bad for any Indianapolis Colts fan. I feel bad for the organization. I love the fact that they went all in. They said, hey, we're going to go out. We're going to try and get Sauce Gardner. We're going to trust Daniel Jones to be our quarterback, not just for this year, but when they went out and traded first round picks for Sauce, they were basically saying, we're going to sign Daniel Jones to a 3-year deal. He's going to be our quarterback for the near future for this football team. And it's amazing 2 weeks later, you're without Sauce, who luckily avoided an Achilles injury. And then you lose Daniel Jones to an Achilles injury. The rumor mills have been swirling. I've heard Minnesota. I've heard Las Vegas. I've heard Indianapolis all. But it's now a 1-year deal, maybe a 2-year deal for Daniel Jones, and not nearly at the money that he was going to get prior to this injury. And it sucks because he was playing through the broken leg, and that you could make an argument that might be why this happened. Yeah. On the opposite leg, when you're overcompensating for the fact that you literally have a broken freaking leg in an NFL game.
Yeah, I agree. I feel badly for the Colts. I love everything about the org, even the owner, Shorty, on the sideline. Hey, I'm like, good.
I'm in.
Who wouldn't want somebody that cares that much?
Yes.
I love everything about it.
She's not meddling. That's the thing. She's gaining information about what is going on inside the organization that she owns and runs. I think it's great that she wants to do
it. I totally agree.
Don't stick your nose in there, but find out everything you can.
Literally what you hope for as a fan. There's so much misogyny associated with that. Please. That's awesome. I love it. Let's see. 473. Green Bay is at Denver. So again, almost like the Chicago conversation we were having, Samich, where this guy, I know it sounds weird, this really doesn't matter for Green Bay.
No, it doesn't. And that's why, like, I would love Green Bay if this was not in the current spot that it's in. But even if you fast forward, like, outside of the fact this is Bears, Broncos, Bears, they were at Detroit a week before this, too. I mean, that was huge back-to-back division games that they win. And now you have to go on the road and take on this defense with what is already kind of a spotty offense at times. And then you have to also realize that you're looking ahead to a Chicago game in Chicago that's going to decide your fate in the NFC playoffs. I find it hard to believe that you're going to get a top-tier effort here from this Packers team. I think, like, just naturally, it's hard to get up for this game. Now, I think it's easier than the Bears, who have Cleveland and a sleepy spot. At least you are going on the road against a good football team. I just am not sure what effort you're going to get here. I like the under in this spot. Give me under 42.5. I think these defenses dominate this game up at Mile High.
Yeah, I should mention Green Bay's up to 2.5, laying it there. I don't quite understand that. I would also, you can find a 43, go under in that one. Next up, 475, Carolina's at New Orleans. This is going to be a play for me. Feels square, but I like Carolina laying the 2.5 at New Orleans.
I don't know what to do with this game, Patrick. Like, I really don't. This is a Carolina team off the bye that you would expect is going to have a big performance here. They have everything to play for now. They've got the Bucs coming up 2 of the last 3 games. That's going to decide the division. This game matters for them. This game, the game on Thursday we're going to talk about tonight, matters for the Bucs because divisional tiebreakers is the, like, division record. How you'd like, all of these games are important because the Bucs blew that game to the Saints last week. At the same time, look, the Saints played pretty well last week. I thought they handled the buck. They were efficient on stopping 3rd and 4th downs. I liked what Shuck was doing running the football. The offense seems to have a little bit of juice with Shuck in there. It's getting better every single game that he is playing. I don't want to bet the Panthers side of this game laying the 2.5 on the road. And I would need the 3 to bet the Saints. And so I'll kind of hang out, see if a 3 pops, see if a 3.5 pops with New Orleans. If so, I'm probably going to have a little piece of it, but I'm not going to bet it at the current 2.5 number.
Yes, it's juiced up on the 2.5. So while it's sub 3, I will lay it with Carolina. Next up, Detroit. 477 here in Los Angeles at the Rams. The Rams are laying 6. Detroit's in desperate. Detroit, they don't have to win out, but they can only lose 1. You got to get to 11 for an opportunity outside a division in the NFC. So Detroit's going to have to continue to win here, and they're in a tough bind taking on the Rams.
Yeah, this is a tough spot for them. And this is one of those games where they've got the Vikings and the Steelers, which should be 2 wins. They are at the Steelers, so you got to worry about Goff. I'm sorry, they have the Steelers at home, so you don't have to worry about Goff outdoors there. They do close with the Bears at Chicago, which is another big game for them. You really can only lose one of these 2. I like the Detroit side of this. I think six is just a little bit too much, especially considering, again, we're talking about these spots because they're so important. The Rams have the Seahawks on deck on Thursday night. Short week, huge divisional matchup. This is one of those where you're naturally going to look a little bit ahead toward that Seahawks game, which is going to, again, decide, are you going to get the one seed or are you going to get the five seed? Are you going to win the division or are you going to be a wild card? I'd rather take the points here with the Rams' opponent on deck in Seattle.
Yeah, the Lions know Brian Branch, who is really the heartbeat of that defense. They're banged up anyway. Look at the total. There's 55s out there. There's only so many possessions in an NFL game, and essentially expecting to score all the time at 55 and some weird stuff to happen. I don't have anything. I'm too emotionally invested to be logical. But yeah, I think it probably would take...
You can take it. It's fine. It's okay. I know it's not a homer play. You can go ahead and take the six with your Lions.
I mean, it is golf inside, well, inside outside, but on a good surface, weather's fine.
This is probably the best same game parlay game of the week. Like I think that the number is a little bit high at 55, but you're going to play into the high 40s at worst here, most likely. You got Puka Nacua, who's expected to get 100 yards receiving. I like Jameson Williams props in this one. I think Devontae Adams touchdown is a playable one in this one. Gibbs receiving sitting at 37.5, 38 out there. I think that is very playable. They're starting to line up Gibbs in the slot. They're moving him all over. If that continues here in Detroit, then his targets and yards should go up on the receiving side. So I think there's a lot of fun props that you can play in this one if you'd want to stay away from the side.
Okay. Next up, Tennessee, 479s at San Francisco, and San Francisco is laying 12.5.
I can't believe I'm saying it's Tennessee or pass at this number. I don't think the San Fran defense should lay 12.5 to anybody. But man, I don't really want to bet Tennessee either. Give me the over, 44.5. This is a San Francisco team that we've talked about as an over team. The defense, not very good. They've lost all of their key pieces at one point or another throughout the year. The offense, somehow healthy now. You've got Pearsall, you've got McCaffrey, you've got Kittle, you've got Purdy. And this is a Titans offense, which at times can be frisky. They are not completely inept on the offensive side. If you have Cam Ward playing well without a pass rush, and guess what? There is no pass rush in San Francisco, so over 44.5 for me.
Yeah, I agree. Tennessee are pass, and I do lean towards the over. 481, Minnesota's at Dallas. Dallas is laying 5.5 and 47.5 on the total.
This was one of the toughest ones for me all week, Patrick. We got good J.J. McCarthy last week. I don't know if we're going to see good J.J. McCarthy 2 weeks in a row. I thought this Dallas defense had turned a corner. They were awful. You had that George Pickens game, which just I have such a bad taste in my mouth after just the lackluster effort you saw from him. CeeDee Lamb is practicing. He's in the protocol. We'll see if he's going to be able to come back from a concussion. It's Dallas or pass occurrence, but I have no interest in betting this right now because I want to see who's going to be on the field for Dallas before making that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I've dated J.J. McCarthy. I had a great date once, and the next week we went out, and there was a knife to my throat.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't know what you're getting, do we?
When it's good, it's like, ooh, yeah, this was great.
Yeah.
When it's bad, man, you're like, wow, how fast can I get out of here?
Yeah. I feel like we're going to hear about the X. That's what I'm talking about. And McCarthy is a situation where I can't trust him. Dallas still does feel like they're in it with Philadelphia potentially beating themselves. So anything here, I'd lay the 5.5 with Dallas. And that brings us to Monday night. Samich's Dolphins, who are in the mix.
In the mix, baby. In the hunt.
And you know what? This is one of my plays. They're at Pittsburgh, and I like the 3.5 with the Dolphins. I'm going to keep riding them.
Hey, you do you, man. You do you. There's some threes out there. Make sure you get the 3.5. This is a look. If you're ever going to play the Dolphins, now is the time. I think this Pittsburgh team may be a touch overvalued off that Baltimore game because you saw people upgrade Pittsburgh. And I'm like, why are we upgrading people for beating Baltimore? Like that is not what we should be doing at this point. We should be looking at Baltimore, not their opponent. I would take the 3.5 or pass. I'm with you on that front. I'm never laying over a field goal here with this Pittsburgh team. Big question for me is what we're going to get from the Dolphins offense. News out of Pittsburgh today, J.J. Watt hospitalized, lung issues.
Yeah.
So that obviously a key loss to that defense. I'm going to go ahead and assume he's probably not going to play on Monday night if you are in the hospital with a lung problem on Thursday. So it would be Dolphins or pass for me as well. But you have more faith in my boys than I do. We'll put it that way. By the way, Michael Cohen over there complaining about not winning a division title in 6 years. Try and be a Dolphins fan in the AFC East. Try and be a Dolphins fan when you see Tom Brady rolled out there for the Patriots, and then you see Josh Allen rolled out there for the Bills, and I'm supposed to get excited about Tua Tagovailoa. Like, don't tell me about 6 year division droughts over here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I almost don't blame Michael, because when you get conditioned and it's 20 straight years of domination, and so then the 5-6 years feels like an eternity.
During that eternity, you got the Celtics winning titles. You got the Sabres competing. You've got the Red Sox who were relevant. Like, just as a St. Louis Blues, Chicago Cubs, Miami Dolphins fan, let me tell you how rough life can be. Two championships in 126 seasons of my life, okay? don't start with me about not winning a division title in 6 years.
Missouri to Florida. You're all over the map over there.
Hey, I started rooting for them when I was a kid. I'm not turning my back on them, despite how many times they've turned their back on me.
I like them here. I think there were so many opportunities. Baltimore playing as poorly as they played, whether it be the likely drop, there was just so much in that game where Pittsburgh still could have lost.
Yep.
And the Ravens were just like, no, seriously, we don't want to win this.
Over two more times? Then will you officially put us to sleep here? how many more turnovers do you need?
Harbaugh out there on the sideline right now looking like Pete Carroll. just staring blankly into space. I like Miami at Pittsburgh. I do. Okay, that brings us to tonight, Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Right before we get to it, a lot of good information in the newsletter today. It's free. Go download it. VSiN.com/newsletter. No obligation. Email address. Bill AD, the whole crew, right there in your inbox. Atlanta's at Tampa, and Tampa's 5.5 here.
Yeah, Bucks 5.5. They are getting Evans back. They're getting McMillan back. We don't know how many snaps we're going to see both of them, but they obviously matter considering the rookie wall that we've seen Ibuka run into. Godwin, I thought, looked a lot better last week. He continues to progress. Irving looked better last week. He continues to progress. And like, I don't trust this Falcons team at all. It's Bucks or pass for me, and I don't love it, but you're going to have Hassan Reddick in there. You're going to have Tristan Wirfs as well. Everything broke well for the Bucks on the injury report side of this. Baker, still a question mark. We've had bad Baker for like 2.5 months, and people just don't want to talk about it after he was an MVP candidate early in the season. Like, we all just have to use our eyeballs and agree this is just not a great quarterback right now. If you look at his turnover-worthy plays, they have consistently been high all season. The difference, the first 6 weeks, he was making all of these big-time throws that was bailing him out, because if you're hitting on these deep balls, you're going to have the EPA and success rate as an offense. We're not hitting on those right now. That's really hurt them. Hopefully the addition of Evans McMillan really bolster this offense. Prop for me, give me Bijan Robinson over his receiving yards. This feels like one of those situations where he can take advantage of the slow older linebackers for the Bucks, be able to get into open space, be able to make a couple plays. Sitting at 39.5, I'll go over his receiving yards here.
Yeah, I think this is, I think it's a buck spot tonight, Mike, just because of what you said. I think this is oddly at week 15 as optimistic health-wise as the Bucks could be. It has been a ringer for them all year.
I read two articles today saying the Bucks are Super Bowl contenders because we're about to see the best version of them. I think the NFC is freaking stacked. Absolutely stacked. So I don't see a world here where the Bucks are going to be able to rip off 3-4 straight once we get to the playoffs. But I do think that this is going to be, you may see the best version of the Bucks in the next 2 weeks because the health is finally coming around for them.
Let's end it here. It's week 15. What's the shock? Let's put ourselves out there a little bit. Something weird's going to happen. Miami's going to get in. Detroit's going to miss out. Chicago's going to miss out. Like, what is right now on December 11th? What's one proclamation or just throw it out there as a shock play moving forward?
I will give you one that is not necessarily a shock, but I think is going to happen that not enough people are accepting. Kansas City is going to make the playoffs. They're going to be the 7 seed. They're going to end up going 3-1 or 4-0 over this stretch, and the Chargers will go 1-3, and Kansas City will be your 7 seed in the AFC. I think that is going to end up happening. I think the NFC shock is that the Bears missed the playoffs.
That was going to be mine. And I was going to help because we've been on the opposite side. And now I've been so high on the Bears. Now it doesn't. The schedule does not line up well for them.
No. And it looks like it's going to take 11 to get in. And you look at this Bears team and it's like, if they don't win this week, they could struggle to get to 11. They've got Green Bay, then they've got to go to San Francisco, and they've got Lions game to close it out. You don't want to have to win two of those three to make the playoffs. If the Bears don't take care of business in a really sleepy spot, it could be a problem. And it's odd for me to say this now because I upgraded the Bears. I thought they were good against Green Bay. The problem is, I don't know if they can consistently be that good, because Caleb Williams was the best version I've seen of him in the second half of that Green Bay game all season. That was the best I've seen him play. I don't trust that he can hit that level every single week, and this is going to be a big spot against a bad Cleveland team.
Kansas City getting in. Last week, the Bears were your one seed in the NFC, and I think it's a very good chance they don't make the postseason. That would be a shock. You
could
qualify that as a shock.
That would be, but that means your Lions are in, because it's probably going to come down to Bears-Lions in that last week for a playoff spot.
I think most likely the Lions lose against the Rams and then win out and get in by the skin of their teeth.
Look at you. Look at positive Patrick on a Thursday.
What do you want me to do? Like, the last 2 years were just an awesome ride, and now I just feel like this year, all it is about getting in the dance, because I'm not, who are we ultimately afraid of? Most would have the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams up top, but outside of that, it's not that they're unbeatable.
Question for you, Patrick. If I told you you could never grow your hair out longer than mine currently is, but Ben Johnson was your head coach, would you take it?
Dude, I'll get a haircut tomorrow. Ben Johnson is going to win multiple Super Bowls with the Bears. My meat stick ain't winning. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a nice, and by the way, I've been thinking about getting the haircut anyway.
There you go.
I listen, and I didn't say it like sarcastically, because I know it's not going to happen, but after he won 15 games, I'm just like, that was fun. You can't let Ben Johnson walk out of Michigan.
You want a real hot take, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Bears miss the playoffs this year and win the Super Bowl next year.
Very well.
I think that they are, like, I have seen improvements in Caleb Williams. You see the decision-making improving. He's still airmailing way too many passes, still missing open guys. He needs to work on his mechanics. But he's not taking the sacks he was last year. I attribute that to Ben Johnson. They fixed the offensive line in Chicago, something that the Bengals have literally been trying to do for 4 years by flipping three starters every single year, unable to do it. The Bears do it in one season. The running game is electric. I think the Bears are on the right path. I don't want all the Chicago people out there to be all over me here. I think this is a good football team. I just think it's too early.
Yeah, Caleb has special traits, like his ability to run, both go against his body, make throws, roll out to his right and make throws. That's pretty special. And you're right, he's not the most accurate player, but he's going to be a hell of a quarterback. There's no doubt.
The pass to Cole Kmet, when he was rolling out and just dropped it over the hands of, I think it was a safety.
It was
a dime. It was like, there's maybe five dudes in the NFL that can make that throw.
And he could make them.
And
he innately doesn't get sacked.
Yes.
It's just this weird sixth sense that he has, eyes back of the head, whatever thing you want to throw out there. Yeah, I like that.
He's not running backward. At USC, when he would not get sacked because he was faster than people and he would just run backward for like 10 yards, 15 yards, he is now maneuvering in the pocket, sometimes being able to run off of it, a lot of times extending plays and throwing the football. If he can figure out the mechanics and the accuracy, and I think Ben Johnson can get him to do that, I think this works out for Caleb Williams long term.
Totally agree. Let me get to the salon and get Ben Johnson back.
Yeah.
And we will be back on Sunday night here on Sharp Money. Download, subscribe, and make sure you tell us how much you like us wherever you download. Isn't that what it is? Like, subscribe, and download.
Rate, review, subscribe, download, something like that. I think if you're subscribed, you automatically download. So I think it's just rate, review, and subscribe. I think that's correct, but I'm still new to this podcast game.
And while you're doing it, check out the podcast with Samich and Halterman, VSiN at the Track, and you can find me, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 Pacific. We'll see you Sunday night, VSiN Live. Excuse me. We'll see you Sunday night. It is Sharp Money.
There you go.
The Sports Betting Network.